standing on holy ground, he had entered into the presence of God. Jacob wrestled with you, God, until he wouldn't let you go until you blessed him. So, Lord, I want us to put ourselves in those Bible stories. We are standing on holy ground. We are before God, the presence of God Almighty that gives us life. And Jesus, maybe not let you go until you bless us today. I don't know what we're looking for, healing or just to be healed, or maybe you need to, Lord, step in and show people how mighty you are. So, Lord, take us over. And may we just be lost in the love of Jesus today. Help us to see how you worked in the book of Esther, your perfect timing that just caused things to be in place. We wonder where you are sometimes. So, Lord, increase our faith. That's what the disciples ask you. Lord, increase our faith. Teach us to pray. You had a band of renegades and rebels, and yet you molded them into something. I ask you to do that with us today. Lord, may we hear your voice, and may we be obedient to it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we're standing in the presence of God Almighty, I thank you for being here and encouraging me. And I know we probably maybe went over a little bit, but you know, we don't get to see each other but once a week. Once out of 168 hours, it's okay to go a little bit over. I'm not that I'll preach for 3 hours, but I'm just saying I enjoy it when we laugh. And whether we're seeing a picture of Marie in a costume and she's still wearing it today, and no, I was just kidding, Marie. And Tim, you can take off the mask of the old man now. I'm sorry. that's what my kids pick at me at school. That's a great costume. They told me that on September the 1st. That wasn't very kind of them. So, but it's good to laugh. Laughter doth good like a medicine. And then it's good to share, and it's good to see people. And y'all walk in the door, and I see your face. And we couldn't have church without you, you know. Somebody told me that one time. They said, if you think you're leading and you look behind, no one's following, you're just taking a walk. I don't want to just take a walk. I want to take on the responsibility of leading you. And I get to do that by using the Bible. So thanks for your extra time today and for such a time as this. I talked about perilous times, trying times, end of time, daylight savings time, the right time, overtime, New York Times, whatever. You can think of the word time being used. The birds even sang about it in their famous and probably most popular song, Turn, 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 based on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a time for, and you just fill it in, and there it is, a time for everything. A time for dying, a time for being born, a time for war, a time for peace. You ever heard your mom or dad or grandpa say something like this? There's a time and place, go ahead and finish it for me, for everything. And, you know, they said, this is not the time or place for that right now. Haven't you ever heard your mom or dad say that? Yeah. Don't be doing that. So it's a time and place. Don't y'all be cutting up now. I've heard my mama say that. And if y'all keep staying up, I'm going to get you up with your daddy in the morning. Daddy got up at 5:30. So we'd suddenly, you know how you lay under the blankets with a flashlight looking at a comic book and stuff. I'm telling my age right there, but it's like, y'all behave yourself. Charles Dickens wrote, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And that's sort of like the book of Esther, because it was good news for some people, bad news for other people. So let's turn to the book of Esther. James is going to give you a Bible. We're found in, it's in the Old Testament. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. You know, y'all know all those books. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. So if you find Job, Psalms, Proverbs, it's a little bit behind that. Let me help you find it. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the first five books of the Bible. That'd be the Pentateuch in Greek, or what's the Hebrew word for that? The Torah? Yeah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And then Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. All right, if you found Esther, I guess if y'all found it, I need to. Esther is a good book for, it's got some funny parts. It's got some parts of, I told you this a couple weeks ago, it's got some funny parts, got some tough parts. But if on the album, Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds, their title cut, they call it Turn, Turn, Turn. That was just one of the songs. Usually they'll take one song, that's the title cut, and they'll name the album that. like the whole album is not. Well, if this is an album and Esther's filled with 10 songs, this is their title cut, for sure. I mean, it's all about timing. Throughout the book of Esther, we see God's timing is perfect. You say, why is he doing this? I don't know. It's just sometimes God says what we've heard in a television show or in a movie. It's on a need to what? Need to know basis. And you know, God, what are you doing this for? I'll let you know that. And we could do that to him. God, why do you do this? Why do you let me have broke ribs? Cheryl could ask. Why do you do that? I don't know. We'll get up there one day and you say, I've heard people, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God all about this. When you get to heaven, stand in front of Jesus, you won't even have a word in your mouth. You'll go, wow. We went to Toronto one time. I've only went to one major league game in my life. And our friends up there took us to the Toronto Blue Jays. And we walked into that stadium. We were going up there. We got to and you finally walk out to where you can see the field. And I walked out and went, wow. And I was broken back to reality with somebody. Sit down up there. Oh, sorry. You know, standing right in front of them. But I mean, that carpet, it looked like that field looked like a putting green. I thought I could play on that. I play up at Giles. Looked like landmines went off. You know, get beating ball, you know, trying to catch a grounder off of that. I can't. If I had that, I could be a pro too. Man, that thing looked like a putting green. Everything's perfect. So I was just in awe. And you're going to be in awe when you stand in front of God. You're going to say, wow. As the song says, I don't know if I'll drop to my knees or praise him. Chapter 1, Queen Vashti got the pink slip. What's that mean? She was fired. I don't know. She might have been even killed. I don't know. Queen Vashti got the pink slip. Chapter 2, beauty contest. Esther wins. There's a picture of Esther. I had to go back and look that up in the Bible. Okay. Chapter 3, for Mordecai, trouble is. Oh, look at you. Y'all remember that? There it is. There's trouble coming out of there. I made the coffee so strong one day at the house, it went right through the cup, ate through the table. I mean, I'm just, no. No. I was like, here, coffee. Woo! And it just came after me. Don't you like it when you just, grows hair on your forehead. I just, I need to drink more coffee. For such a time as this, for such a time as this. That was chapter 4. So y'all remember that? Queen Vashti's fired. Esther wins a beauty contest. Mordecai's so proud of it, he goes and says, honey, there's some trouble brewing because Haman hates me. And no, Haman never went in and asked. Haman never went in and said, Esther, would you help me? He went in when his people were in trouble. For Mordecai, trouble was brewing. Haman hated him, but then there come out a decree that Haman was going to kill Mordecai, but not just him. That wasn't enough. There was so much hatred in Haman, he didn't want to just kill one person. I'm going to wipe out all the Jews that I can find. That's what you call prejudice. You know, like a dog bit me. I hate all dogs. Golly, easy. Bought a bad Ford one time, and never going to buy a Ford again. I had a Mercury Zephyr one time. I would have drove it over the bank, but I couldn't keep it running long enough. But I mean, that was the worst car I ever owned in my life. It was awful. And then I got a Ford Tempo that finished out with 292,000 miles on it. So is Ford bad or good? I don't know. 300,000 miles basically on my Ford Tempo. That thing just drove till somebody says, how long are you going to keep it? Till it falls apart. That's what I did. So my Ford Tempo, great. Mercury Zephyr. No. So, I don't know. It's just, oh, for such a time as this. Chapter 5, Mordecai finally told Esther, go in and ask, and she said, okay. Went in, lets the king know, this could cost me. And she said, I'm going to go in, and if I see him, if I die, I die. But for such a time as this. Title cut off the album right there. And she goes in, and the king extended the scepter, and she touched it. And that meant she could come on in. Otherwise, he could have said, who's in the courtyard? Well, they don't have an appointment. Kill them. Well, he wouldn't do that to Esther. Go ask Vashti. Might have to dig her up to ask her, but I mean, go ask Vashti. I think the king's... Esther has a request. And last week we talked about her request. She come in and got cold feet. I should have put cold feet up here. She come in and said, can I have a banquet? Sure. And so they had a banquet, and she arrived at the banquet, and she said, and everybody probably scoots up on the edge of their seat, what is it, honey? Can I have another banquet? Sure. And Esther, so now it's showdown. She can't put it off anymore. And so, what are we going to do with these guys? We've got some characters in this play, if it would be called. Mordecai is about to be killed along with the rest of the Jews. Esther has asked. She's put her life on the line. She's asked for a banquet, and she wants the king there. She wants Haman there, and she wants her there. Now, some people would look at this as though it is a selected banquet, her request, and it's like a private party. Haman is on cloud nine. Meanwhile, watch God's perfect timing move right in. He's going to kill Mordecai. Haman's just had it with him. That night, chapter 5, Haman's rage went out that day, happy and in high spirits. He is going to have a banquet. He's going to kill Mordecai. Everybody's great. So chapter 6, I'll just tell you the quick thing of that. The king can't sleep, so they, of all things to make him sleep, he pulls out the chronicles that record things around the palace. And he's sitting there about half sleeping and God's smiling. I just love this because God just smiles and says, I'm going to keep this king up for a while. Oh, I can't sleep. Give me the warm milk. It's not working. Let me read something. Basically, you're going to read something that bores you and finally puts you to sleep. And so he's reading through and it's like, here's a guy named, how do you say it? Mordecai. Here's a guy named Mordecai that saved my life. What's been done for him? Well, nothing. We got to do something for him. What do you think? There's somebody in the courtyard. Who is that? Oh, it's Haman. Tell Haman to come in. Haman, what should be done for a man who's takes care of the king? Who, and Haman's so conceited, he thinks the king's talking about him. What should be done? Give him the royal horse, put him on there, put the robe of the king, give him a signet ring, do everything. Great. He says, absolutely, I agree with you. Why don't we go out and do this to Mordecai? And Haman's jaw hits the floor. It's like, that's a man I wanted to kill. It's not doing too good for Haman right here. Do you feel sorry for him? Yeah, you got to remember this. You got to remember in the Song of Solomon, you don't have to turn to that, but in the Song of Solomon, it talks about, I think Zadok, he's a warrior. He basically just kills people. He's like a Hitler. He's like a Mussolini. He's like a, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer driving a bomb-laden van into the Oklahoma City and killing 137 people, and half of those were who? That was a daycare center. He killed kids. Well, I feel sorry for him. Anybody feel sorry for Jeffrey Dahmer? No. Now, I didn't say hate him like, I'm just saying though, when justice, it's time to be done, what? It's got to be done. So, back to the Song of Solomon, this man, he goes out and just basically, he's killing people. Well, he doesn't show up one day. He doesn't come home and it says his mom looks out the window longing for him. Where is he? And you almost feel sorry for him. He's been killed. Well, what would people of righteous God honoring, Chris, what would they say probably? Amen. We've ridded the world of an evil man. But we get caught up, and that's our human side. Like, well, I feel sorry for him. You know? Anybody ever felt sorry for a copperhead that's about to bite you? My dad's never, weep over that snake. Yeah, crawl in the house again. Well, you can't now. I mean, Haman's an evil man. He's going to kill all the Jews. Try to keep that in mind that you say, well, I just wish I could have went about it another way. Chapter 6, Mordecai's honored. Haman's not. So here we go. High five for Mordecai. He gets rewarded. Mordecai is pinned on. That's the queen, by the way. I just thought I'd put her up there. But anyway, the king says, Mordecai, I want to honor you. And chapter 6 ends with Mordecai's top dog, one of the inner council, the cabinet, whatever you want to say. Chapter 7, read this with me. Chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther back for this banquet. And as they were drinking wine on that second day, the king again asked, Queen Esther, we're going to try this again. Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it'll be granted. Queen Esther knew not to ask for another banquet. This is it. This is showdown. Then Queen Esther answered, Well, if I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. Let me live. He's probably going, what are you talking about? No one better touch you. Grant me my life. And spare my people, because this is my request. That was pretty simple. Let me and my people live. For I and my people have been sold for destruction. I bet she lays this up. And slaughter and annihilation. And if we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet. Hey, if I'd have been a slave, I wouldn't have bothered you. But because no such distress would justify disturbing the king, I don't want to bother you. Because no such distress would justify disturbing the king, I would have let you be. We're not talking about being slaves. We're talking about death. So I need your help. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, well, who is he? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing? Esther said, right there he sits, Haman has done all this. Haman, like, and the king's outraged. The adversary and enemy is this vile Haman right here in front of us. Mercy. You ever been found out after you do something wrong? Yeah. You ever had your dad come in, done that to me? That window in there in the bedroom is broke. Somebody did it. You're the only one in the house. I don't know how it got broke, Dad. Lying won't help, okay? Tim did. No, I just, Tim's not here. You ever had to fess up? Here it comes. Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. This is not turning out like at all like I thought. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. What's he going to do? He's going to get guards to come in and get him and take him out. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Now, imagine Haman sitting at a table, and they're reclining somewhat. Remember the times, the culture of that. And he goes, who is the only one in that room that can spare his life? Esther. So he gets up, basically, it's like, Esther about trips and falls on her. This is not going to go good. What he really wanted to do was bow down, beg her mercy, get on his knees, and go let. King comes back in the room, and there's Haman. Looks like he jumped on his wife. Well, that's not going to go well. Haman is already in bad trouble, you know. You ever seen those Three Stooges got a big board every time they turn around, they hit somebody? It's like, well, Haman, it can't get much worse. Here we go. Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. Oh, my. He said, well, did he really fall? I don't know. He's going to beg for his life. How would you? It's almost like falling down. You're on the floor. Oh, please have mercy. So the king explained, well, he even molests the queen while she's with me in the house? Like, what are you doing attacking the queen? Haman was like, I didn't mean, this is not going well. And as soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. What do they do before they kill you? I want to go back and talk to Haman's wife for a minute, you know, and say, what did you advise him to do? Sounds like a good plan. What was his plan, by the way? How was he going to kill Mordecai? Well, they say, yeah, some people say he's hung on a gallows that he built for another. Some people, he was actually, we're sitting at a banquet. Everything's fine and dandy. This is great. And Haman's just probably thinking, this is not going well. I got to figure out what to do. Everybody's talking, King Esther. Okay, I'm back with you now. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of this? Mordecai is now honored. I wanted to kill him. And if a king finds out that I wanted to kill him, that's not going to be good. And wait a minute, all the Jewish people will hate me. So he's sitting there running all this through his mind when Esther says, there's this man who's trying to kill us. I'm the king. Who is it? Right there he says, I bet you he could probably screamed out. No, wait, what? Let's talk this over. You weren't going to talk it over the other day. You went to the trouble of taking the printing press and going down there and Xeroxing and put things providence the everywhere saying, I'm going to annihilate the Jews. We're going to pick a certain day. And we're going to kill. How many was he going to kill of the Jews? All of them. I guess that includes kids. So here's a man that's going to kill kids. He's going to kill somebody. As long as we're Jews, let's kill them. So you got to remember, that's what kind of man this was. He's very evil. It's like you feeling, I'm just trying to paint the picture. Don't. Banquet number two, Esther asks a request. Would you save my life and my people's life? Well, right here it is. In the book of Esther, chapter 7, we see what happens to Esther. You know, let me remind you, it's perfect timing right there of what she did. She just happens to have a banquet and just happens to have Haman right there. They don't have to go hunt him. He's right there in front of them. You think that's a God thing? And the king just happened to read the chronicles that read about Mordecai that saved his life. Haman's not doing anything right. Haman, let's get this right. And the king didn't even do that. But if he did, he said, who do you want to kill? All Jews? You realize my wife's a Jew. Well, let's kill her too. Oh, so you want to kill my wife or the queen? You want to kill all Jews? You want to kill Mordecai who saved my life? Oh, Haman, this is... But in a rage, he just got up and... Haman had built... Chris, what'd you say? He's going to impale him. They have a sharp pole standing up. It could have been 60 feet tall. And they just throw the person on it, stabs them, and they just hang there. So it's not just hung on the gallows built for another. Some versions say that. I'm not sure, but whether you're hung or impaled, it's not going to be good. Mark, would you die instantly right there? I don't think you would. Donald Carter was my catcher down there. I always say hind catcher. I'm just old-fashioned. He's my hind catcher on my baseball team at Roanoke Valley. He runs Carter's Towing over in Salem. And he told me one day he lives close to Bent Mountain, so they called in a wreck, and normally police, rescue squad, and all that. Donald lived close to the crash site, so he just drove down there. He got there before anybody else did. And the guy did not have an airbag, and he wasn't in a fancy new car. He was in an old pickup truck. And Donald said when he arrived, he had went forward so much that he had actually hit the steering wheel, and the steering wheel had impaled him. And as Donald shows up, the man's dying. I mean, what do you do with that? You don't say, well, you'll be okay. You're not going to walk away from this. And so he talks to him, but Donald said I was the first one there. He basically died before the rescue squad ever got there. But you're impaled on the steering wheel because it's so sharp. That'd be an agonizing death, wouldn't it? That's what's going to happen. He's going to be impaled on this. Well, that's cold. I mean, even for him, well, couldn't we show him mercy? You know, it's a good thing I'm not God. A lot of ways, but at the end of time, where will God send those who do not know Him as Savior? Hell. And if you were and I were there, Debbie would probably say, well, give him another chance. I mean, come on. If we'd have been on the ark, drop the door one more time. There's some people beating on it. They've had 120 years to get in this ark, basically. I mean, well, he preached for 120 years. They could have gotten saved. He built the ark. They could have come on here anytime they wanted to. Now they want to. If my dad would have said, you need to do this. What are you doing? I'm going to tell you one more time. If you don't do it, I'm going to whip you. Didn't do it? Okay. I'll do it now. You know what he would say to me? God's going to say it's too late one time. God's going to look down and say it's too late. Open the ark door. Nope. God closed the ark door. Because Noah would have been the same as me. Drop it down. Let's get those last few. There's always going to be last few. It's got to be an ending point. Susan, when you give an assignment, it says this assignment's due tomorrow. It's due tomorrow. 3 months later, or in my case, people come in, grown, three kids. Mr. Moses, here's that driver's ed assignment. You know, where you been the last 12 years? I mean, can you still figure that in for me? No. You can't take module one test. It's been 3 months ago. God says it's it. Haman, it's over. Haman gets a point. Sorry. Haman finally, some would say, I can hear my granny read, he got what he, my spirit will not always strive with you, says God, As soon as last few verses of chapter 7, as soon as the word left king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A gallows 75 feet high stands by Haman's house. He had made it for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. He went to kill your friend." King says, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. Remember, the king's fury subsided in chapter 1 after Vashti was taken care of. And finally, setting the record straight, the Jews weren't bad people. They weren't evil people. They were good people. And finally, chapter 8, that same day, King Xerxes gave Queen Esther the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came into the presence of the king, for Esther had told him how he was related to her. She's come clean. "I am a Jew. Here's my dad," basically. The king took off his signet ring, which he had reclaimed from Haman, presented it to Mordecai. Esther appointed him over Haman's estate. Esther again pleaded with the king, falling at his feet and weeping. She begged him to put an end to the evil plan of Haman the Haggite. In other words, set the record straight. We're not evil people. Change this edict that's still out there. Because on a certain day, if word doesn't get out, some of your men that work for the... if they're going to carry out Haman's plan, they're going to kill friends, they're going to kill Jews. Set the thing straight. She is still pleading. She could have easily said, "Hey, I'm good. My dad's good. Who cares about anybody else?" Be careful, because I get lessons when I read the Bible. What speaks to me? Chris, you could say, "I'm saved. Who cares about anybody else?" No, you need to go get others. Somebody said there was a painting one time. You know, it's a guy coming out of... it looked like an ocean, sea of sin. And the man's coming out and God's got his hand. And they said, "Isn't that a precious picture?" And he says, "No, I got one better than that. How could it be better than that?" Next picture, he's coming out, and this guy's got somebody else's hand coming with him. You got to go save people. Esther, you want to get them all? "Yes, sir, I do." That's what she's going to do. So here we go. She begged him to put an end to the evil plan of Haman the Haggite, which he had devised against the Jews. Then the king extended the gold scepter to Esther. She arose, stood before him. "If it pleases the king," she said, "and if he regards me with favor and thinks it's the right thing to do, and if he is pleased with me, let an order be written overruling the dispatches that Haman, son of Hammedatha, and the Haggite devised and wrote to destroy the Jews in all the king's provinces. For how can I bear to see the disaster fall on my people? How can I bear to see the destruction of my family?" King Xerxes replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Because Haman attacked the Jews, I have given his estate to Esther, and they have hanged him on the gallows. Now write another decree in the king's name in behalf of the Jews as it seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for no document written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked. Out of respect, at once the royal secretaries were summoned on the 23rd day of the third month, the month of Sivan. They wrote out all of Mordecai's orders to the Jews and to the satraps, the governors, and nobles of the 127 provinces, stretching from India to Cush. These orders were written in the script of each province, in the language of each person." Nobody's going to misunderstand. "Also to the Jews in their own script and language. Mordecai wrote in the name of King Xerxes, sealed the dispatches with the king's signet ring, sent them on mounted couriers." We would probably call this in years gone by, how'd that letter get delivered? "Yeah, this is the Pony Express. We're getting them out there." "And then sent them on mounted carriers who rode fast horses, especially bred for the king. The king's edict granted the Jews in every city and right to assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate any armed force of any nationality or province that might attack them and their women." You have a right to defend yourself. "Their women and children, and to plunder the property of their enemies. The day appointed for the Jews to do this and all the promises of King Xerxes was the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar. Copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers riding the royal horses raced out, spurred on by the king's command. An edict was also issued in the citadel," that's the capital of Susa. "Mordecai left the king's presence wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold, a purple robe, a fine linen, and the city of Susa held a joyous celebration. For the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor. And in every province and in every city, wherever the edict of the king went, there was joy and gladness among the Jews, with feasting and celebration, and many people of their nationalities became Jews because of fear the Jews had seized them. God has set the record straight. By the way, who are the Jews? Those are God's people. Is that right? So you think God took up for them? Yeah. Do you feel sorry for Haman? Now, he's taken them off death row, the Jews. Now he's basically put them in the palace. Quite the change. You say, well, is that like me? Well, you think of when before you knew Jesus. Those of you who know Christ as Savior, did he take you off death row and put you in a palace? Yeah. He took me, changed me from a pauper to I'm a child of the King. We don't like to say, because that's bragging. No, God loves when you brag on him. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. I mean, you got to let people know that. And you say, well, how easy is that to do? Well, consider this. Esther stepped out in faith. That's what you got to do. Trusted God to help her. It was God's plan to save his people. Luke 19:10. You know, Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost. Esther had to totally trust God to save her. Are you ready to step out in faith and trust God? And you say, I just don't know. Well, what are your spiritual beliefs? What are you waiting on? I'm trying to be kind to you, but what are you waiting on? To you, who's Jesus? You say, well, he's a good man. Oh, he's the Son of God. Do you think there's a heaven and a hell? There is, trust me. If you die tonight, which one of those places would you go to? And if what you believe is not right, would you want to know? You say, well, I'm thinking that we get there by being a good person. Okay, you don't. And some people say, don't tell me those things. Well, here's the verses that say, all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. The wages of sin is death. Jesus replied, unless a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. That's what he told Nicodemus. I'm the way, the truth, and life. Not one of the many ways. I'm the way, the truth, and life. We don't like that. It almost sounds exclusive. Isn't that the truth, though? I mean, so you mean all the people who don't trust Jesus as Savior, whether they're Muslim or Methodist or going to church doesn't save you. Walking an aisle doesn't save you. Trusting Jesus saves you. I've been a pretty good guy. There'll be good people in hell. I got to finally come to this. I got to call Jesus. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. With the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive us. He died for all of us, so we should no longer live for ourselves, but live for him. And he's standing at the door and knocking. So are you a sinner? My hand is up. I think we all are. We're just either a saved sinner or still a sinner. Are you a sinner? Do you want forgiveness? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Are you willing to surrender your life? And if you are, would you invite Jesus into your life right now? So the next thing to do is to, for such a time as this, right now, whatever time it is, pray with me. Dear Jesus, for this certain time, on this certain Sunday, first Sunday in November, the first day of the month, in a crazy world that gets absorbed by the media and worries about a virus, Lord, there's something more that we need to make sure we've settled. Not a vaccine, but a decision for you. Not who's going to be president, a decision for you. Not, Lord, of all the things we could decide today, knowing you is most important. So Jesus, just like Esther, she went into the king and the king extended the scepter. Lord, you're called the King of Kings, Jesus. And if we come to you, you extend a scepter. You welcome us in. So Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as your Savior, they've got to realize without you, hell's their home. With you, heaven's their home. Lord, would they come to the place in their life to say, I'm tired of fighting everything. I'm tired of trying to be the best I can be. Because my best, my righteousness is as filthy rags before God. So Jesus, may they come to you right now in a moment of faith and say, Jesus, would you forgive me of all my sins? Come into my heart and save me. Be my Savior and help me to live for you from this day on. And it's not a magical formula. It's just a heart intention. It's for right now deciding, Jesus, I want you. Or if some of us have drifted from the faith, it's time to come home. Well, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. When we stand before you, all the things that we thought were so great will be burned away as wood, hay, and stubble. What's left is, should be that devotion, that desire, that love for you. So, Lord, speak to our hearts even right now. And if there's somebody here, Lord, draw them to you. You're the one that does the drawing, unless you draw them. It's not my words, it's yours. Holy Spirit, would you just grab a hold of people? Don't let us leave the same way we come in. Take a moment just to talk to Jesus. It might even seem a little uncomfortable. You don't like the quietness. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." I want you to know He's God right now in this moment. Lord, while people are praying, we lift You up. We lift up the needs of our heart, our families, our friends. But Lord, most of all, we want to make sure people know You. So Jesus, we'll close our time. But thank You for being here, and thank You for speaking. In Jesus' name, amen.